Your back is to the wall. You've been presented this project. Even though you're intimidated and you're like, I don't want to do this shit ever again, you felt called. A true, real life mentor themselves, Miss Violeta Galagarza, founder of KR3T's Dance Company.
Going with the flow, regardless of what was going on in life. My father's stepdad was killed by the gun while my show was going to be happening 2 months or a month later. A man that worked for all his life. Years later, my brother gets shot, worked 3 jobs, and seeing that and able to share it to my dancers, like, you can't tell me about problems, I'm gonna tell you about mine, and then we can battle from that. And then when they hear my story, they're like, but how are you doing it, and you're smiling like this, and you're acting like everything's good? I said, because...
Welcome to the Real Mentors Podcast. My name is Sean Martin, your host, and if you didn't know, now you know. Real stands for Real Life Examples Altering Lives. And today in the studio, I have the ultimate privilege of interviewing a true real life mentor themselves in Miss Violeta Galagarza, founder of KR3T's Dance Company in East Harlem. Violeta is somebody who came into my life not too long ago. Just randomly through social media, and I saw what she is doing and has been doing in the community for the better part of the last 3 decades. This year's actually going to make 35 years with Boots on the Ground. KR3T's is a dance company that she founded on her own at the ripe old age of 17. And as I said, it is my honor and privilege to introduce Ms. Violeta Galagarza, and I'm going to let her tell us a little bit more about what it is that she does and how she's making an impact on the youth of not only East Harlem, but in the New York City metropolitan area as a whole, and how her efforts are ultimately helping to change lives, and in the ripple effect of changing those lives, changing the outcomes for generations to come in the lives and families of those people and those kids that she's impacting. So I now turn the floor over to the one and only Miss V.
Thank you.
How are you, hon?
I'm good. I'm doing great. I appreciate this. That was beautiful. Yes, I have a nonprofit organization based in El Barrio, Spanish Harlem. I had started my company at the age of 17. Before that, I was a young dancer in El Barrio, doing the hustle, my sister using me as a guinea pig, throwing me around. And I ended up learning how to hustle, lead, and follow being young, and started in a school, and they told me to do an audition. And went to this audition at the age of 9. And when I finished, it was like the next day I made it. And I got a scholarship for the prestige school, Alvinelli. And I got a scholarship for 4 years for ballet, modern, jazz, and African. Executed that, something that I felt that I was connected with. And got another 4 years. And then at a young age, I became a mom. So that put like a stop hold because, you know, we're Latinas. We're thick. And at that time, I was a bit skinny. But going to ballet after giving birth is a no-no at that time.
Right.
You know, so I was devastated. I felt like that was the only thing that I knew. And it just actually put me to challenging myself. I'm not going to let this happen. I can't let this go. And we was just in the block parties in the block and having the DJ come down and plug his equipment to the pole, the light pole.
Right.
And we used to jam, and everybody used to always ask me and my sister, what's the new vibe, the new style, what's going on? And we used to go to the block parties and parks to battle, you know, not knowing that later on through that experience, I was going to go through my trials and tribulations, domestic violence, being young, being a mom, and then faced with an opportunity with a director at a LaGuardia Corsi house. And I used to just rehearse there just for the parades, the 116 festivals. And from there, that's when he was like, you know, we have a professional ballet dance company. If you want, join them. If not, do a Broadway show. I'm 17. I'm like, how am I gonna do that? I have no family. How you do a Broadway show? I had no skill.
Probably nothing. Had never been to a Broadway show.
Right, I didn't, never. And he said, well, you might as well go. They have portable floors. You can be in their company. And I was devastated because I felt, again, once again, something being taken away from me. And I just said, you know what? Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Not knowing what I was going to do, but I'm not going to let no one take this away from me again. And so that became a situation where I had like 12 dancers, 15, and within 6 months became 60 dancers.
Wow.
And I did graffiti. I had a graffiti guy. Hey, can you do me a flyer? And we printed that out. I did the costumes myself, like Iri Chacon, Flequitos, glued them. I was the host. I did cassette tapes, edit them. And then from there, that's when I had to face doing 9 different choreography, perform at the show, hosted, and at the end, it sold out. 360 people came from El Barrio and the cake sales at that time to just get a costume. And then the director was sitting there waiting for this Broadway show. And when I finish, he comes walking to the front and I'm looking down at him. I'm like, so James, what do you think? I know it's not Broadway, but he was like, it's amazing. Are you ready for next year? And I'm like, oh, no. This is no good. I'm good. This was good enough.
Right.
But it's 35 years now doing this show every year, production. Now I don't do cake sales. I get sponsors, donors, fashion designers to donate costumes for these dancers because you're in El Barrio. A lot of people are in the struggle. They're coming to train. Some of them invest. Some of them can't afford to invest. And then how can I help them?
Right. I would imagine even getting there, getting train fare.
Exactly.
Being able to eat is a challenge for most of these kids. Time is readily available, but the means to even get yourself from one place to another is a challenge. So let's rewind a little bit to your story, because that's what really attracted me to you when we got to speak on the phone. It was about the struggles that you faced really early on in life, and yet and still you were able to persevere, and you were able to thrive and then create this thing that helped so many people over the years. So just to rewind and kind of slow it down, at the age of 17, I believe, you had this promising option of Alvin Ailey Dance School on the table, which if anybody who's watching or listening knows, that is the dance company in New York. And if it's the dance company in New York, it's likely it's the dance company in the world.
Yes.
One of the most prestigious. I was a student at LaGuardia High School of Music and Art, which was, I believe, right in the same neighborhood, Lincoln Center area, which is the performing arts hub for New York City. And we always heard about Alvin Ailey. And if you were in Alvin Ailey, because there were dancers in our school, you were the shit.
Thank you.
So you obviously had loads of talent, and then life came knocking at the door. You ended up getting pregnant. Your career took a back seat, or at least the vision of what your life would be then took a back seat. Obviously, that presented challenge of itself, but what would you say, or who would you say, was the person that gave you the support that you needed, and the belief that this young 17-year-old girl who obviously had talent but didn't have that life experience yet, who was that person that you leaned on, mentored you through this, or supported you through that obviously trying time of your life?
Oh, well, it was like a battle. Like, it was a challenge. They tried me. So, one, I was adopted, right? So my aunt saved me from my mom going to getting abortion, right? Because she couldn't afford having 5 of other kids, right? So my aunt spoke to her, convinced her, and for some reason made it happen for her to keep it. And 3 months later, my mom gives birth, and my aunt names me, the daughter that she lost, Violeta, names me Violeta, right? Now, 15 years old, now I'm a little older, not older, but a young lady. Now it happens to me. Now I'm pregnant at a young age. And, you know, with my partner, we were both virgins. So the first time this happened, and whoopsie, now I don't want it. I'm pursuing an Alvin Ailey. I got 4 scholarships. I'm one of the best dancers in each class. I was killing it. I wanted to be the best I can be, and I wanted to graduate and be in college and be with a Marine and 3 kids, right?
And you had it all figured out.
Right.
So you did.
And when my mom slash my aunt who saved my life, and I told her, Mommy, I'm pregnant. I'm sorry, but I don't want it. I want to graduate. I want to finish. And I spoke to him and he's okay with it. So this is the first time at that time you're hearing this from a child. Usually they'll be like, you're not my mother, it's what I want. And, you know, I'll do whatever I want to do. No, she was like, oh, you lay on the bed, now you make it. And I was devastated because I was graduating to go to LaGuardia Corsi House, LaGuardia Performing Arts. And my teacher, Miss K, was ready. The school, they was like, she's it. I was dancing with Save Young Glover at that time. And my mom told me that, and I was like, no way, you're not going to take this away. So there's always something that came to stop when I was right there to go. And that's what stopped me into pursuing professionally, not stopped me to dance, but into going to the world and experience this tour and paid and, you know, all that stuff. But it taught me that in life, we're going to get challenges and two choices, right? Well, maybe three. But we sometimes got to listen to our signs or, you know, that time my mom had control of me. So thanks to her, I'm here now. 35 years saving lives, helping, building, inspiring, empowering, because if I would have went the other route and she would have said, you're right, because, you know, I don't want nobody to see you 15 years old, pregnant, and that's an embarrassment. I just adopted you too. So right. She, that would have been the guilt on her. Right. You know, she would have been embarrassed, but she didn't. She had her faith and belief. She didn't care what the situation was. So I would have been famous. I would have been maybe bougie too much. I would have been here like, I don't know if I can do this, right? I would have been maybe a drug addict. I would have maybe with a disease. I would have, you know, things would have went maybe left going there. And I think if there was a choice now in what I see, I am so glad that I went through the struggle in that situation to stop me from greatness in the field, in that career, to saving lives, empowering and inspiring. That's also healing me and learning to continue to be around those people, because we got to be in the ends of now. We can't stay stuck in the past.
I absolutely love that story. So many of us just learn through trial and error. And I was just having this conversation about the majority of people that come from where we come from are raised in single-parent households, predominantly moms or grandmoms, or in your case, an aunt who took it upon themselves to not only kind of save you, in a sense, but guide you and take you in as her own. You're her daughter. I'm pretty sure you couldn't say anything otherwise to your aunt, who happens to be your mom. And that goes for so many of us. We just don't have the familial structure that is classically known as the mom and the dad, and or even a mom and a mom or a dad and the dad, which is today's, you know, reality. Any of those structures is probably more beneficial than just a single parent, right? Because there's just so many struggles that come along with that. So you didn't make it out. You made it through.
Right.
And you were able to find a new story and a new journey to embark on. Tell us a little bit about KR3Ts, the studio, and how you're able to impact these young kids and, as you say, save their lives, because you know what's on the other side of a bad decision, or what could have been.
Right. So I came from a background being in El Barrio where the drugs were at, gangs back then, the fights, the pressures, being vulnerable and making poor choices like now. But it was back then worse because it was visually you seeing these drug addicts.
You're talking, we're going to date ourselves a bit, but, you know, you're talking dope days.
Yeah.
Heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
Heroin is extremely popular.
It was crazy in 110, 117, 116.
Was the hub for importing all of the heroin that was coming into New York City. Was the Italians. They had Pleasant Avenue.
Exactly.
Over there in that little 2 or 3 block radius, which was their stronghold to feed the drugs to all of the black
all
and brown people
in
the rest of the city. So unfortunately, ugly reality and truth of New York City and how that worked at the time. That was the backdrop for all of this going on. Yet and still, out of a necessity, your back is to the wall. You've been presented this project by this gentleman, and you shine through. And even though you're intimidated and you're like, I don't want to do this shit ever again,
it just...
You felt called.
Right.
On some
yes,
level.
I felt that it planted a seed. And if I was able to do that, I could imagine what I can do more. Or let me just go with the flow. And that's what I did my whole life. Going with the flow, regardless of what was going on in life. My father, stepdad was killed by the gun at one time while my show was going to be happening 2 months or a month later. Wow. I'm coming still in the studio, smiling with the dancers and doing these routines. Meanwhile, he got shot like over 6 times. A man that worked for all his life, you know. Wow. Years later, my brother gets shot, worked 3 jobs and lived in the Bronx and had a child. To this day, we don't know who did it, right? But a working man. He was all about fighting with the hands, innocent, football. That's how I used to play football with him and the guys in the block. You know, so seeing that and able to share it to my dancers, like, you can't tell me about problems. I'm going to tell you about mine. And then we can battle from that. And then when they hear my story, they're like, but how are you doing it? And you're smiling like this and you're acting like everything's good. I said, because we got to move on. We got to continue to live. I'm not going to let something stop me. You said no? Okay, I'm going to go. Like we do with our parents. Mom right. said no? We go to our dad, right? So if he says no too, I'm going to go right back to my mom. But please, we're going to figure it out. We're not going to get the no's. And the no's becomes yes. I've been challenged many times, and the only no was my mom when she said, no, you're having that child, and I had to respect that, and that child is now 36 years old. He has what I never had, a house in Florida. He has a in-ground pool. He has the 2 girls that I don't have. I have 3 boys. I always wanted a girl, and he's in a relationship still for over 15 years, so beautiful. Not everything's going to be for us. And if I'm not going to get that blessing and God gave it to me to give it to my 3 boys, you know what? I'm okay. I'll run with the punches. I'll go, but I'll get my blessings in between and to see that. So seeing that and letting my dancers hear or experience that, being a thick Latina, single mom, being in a barrio, and she's doing all that. They used to be like in the parade, go gorda. And I used to be like, oh yeah, this gorda. But you, anybody can do this flip. You can do the flip. I could carry you and flip you. Don't play. And that's when they're like, oh, she could do it. Then I can do it. So before these TV shows you're seeing now with thick girls, now is all right. accepted. Janet has her thick girl dancer. I've been doing that. Now you see the mother and son duo dances on TikTok. Me and my son Noah, he was the youngest B-boy at 2 years old. We were performing together at the Christina show. We was dancing together, mom and son, teaching him who he's now, an actor, a professional famous dancer, rapper. But I was the one showing him all the moves from back in the days, you know? And now everybody respecting him now, like, wow, what's that? How you know all these styles?
So where do you draw your strength from? Because, I mean, I knew about a few of your obstacles coming in. And it seems the longer we're going to get to know each other, the more these things pop up. And they're kind of matter of fact to you, just like me and probably a lot of people listening. Mm-hmm. There's things that happen in your life that at the time, it's a dead end. How am I going to go on? And you find a way. You just keep moving forward. Where do you draw that strength from?
One, through my dancers, when I see the need and the hunger of these dancers, their situations, their problems, which may not be so big, but to them is big. I get it. And that helps me balance out through what I feel that's not completed in my life, right? So my strength is within my faith, I don't know. I feel like I have that angel, Violet, with me, the one that we lost years ago. And I feel she's with me because every year I do a show, I don't rush on this show. It has to make sense. It has to build on what's going on in our community or in the world or factors like, you know, socialism, you know, the killings, the guns, the rapes, the everything that's going on, how can I put that within the arts and express to my audience where it's touched like, I went through that. Oh, I want to do that. Or she did, or he do. One of my dancers has one arm. And it's like, I'm going to show you ways to inspire yourself, empower yourself. That's it. That's all we need to do. And if that can be an example by me putting it out through the arts, through dance, through music, and touch you. Because, you know, sometimes we talk about it and people be like, It goes over their head. But when you seeing it and feeling it, and I can relate to that, I want to build in more. So my strength is the hunger of my audience, the hunger of my dancers. When I speak to parents or they tell me the testimonies, oh my God, thank you. He this, the gang member who changed his life, you know, at 15, 16, I had to challenge him. You're not going to come here. But he loved it. Tough guy, you know, cute Latino. And he was like, I'm like, you're in the gang? Yeah. And I was like, what, Latin King? I'm like, you're not bringing that here. Because now you're bringing me out of the comfort zone of trying to do good.
Right.
This is not good. And now I got to be watching over my back, for your back, and my whole crew. That's not safe. You're jeopardizing us. And we have to make a choice. Not that I was going to let him go, but I had to, like, wake him up.
Yeah, a little wake-up call.
Yeah, and he was like, I can't. It's too late. I said, we're going to figure it out.
What I'm hearing is, and I think it's a theme, most people are afraid to put themselves out there or set a goal that they're accountable for, at least striving toward, not necessarily hitting, right?
Right.
But what's given you strength is you have to show up. And I'm sure there's plenty of days where you don't feel like showing up, or you got your own bullshit that's going on in your heart and in your head and in your life that you don't want to give of yourself that particular day. But you know that those kids are counting on you being there. Mm-hmm. You're a leader. You're a mentor for them. And that brings me to the point that I've learned more recently, and the reason that I am deciding to embark on this mission is giving truly is living. Yes. I have been fortunate enough to overcome all of my worldly challenges, or up to this point, right? There's more ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I found financial stability and comfortability. And yet and still, I wasn't giving and I was empty. And The reason that I decided to go on this mission was because that I learned that serving others, first and foremost, my family.
Right.
But I know that my talents and my gifts have been given to me to serve a greater audience and a greater number of people. And that's why I'm on this mission. And you've been on that mission since 17 because you made a decision to not lay down and quit, but to show up and fight.
Right.
How is that translating into your ability to give those kids the same hope? Do you share your story with them, or do you just go in and make shit happen? I don't know. I want to know what the dynamic is like with these kids, because you're seeing kids that are coming in and they're coming in probably, at least on the surface, appearing to be more broken than even someone who faced those kinds of challenges at 17. Meanwhile, they're more concerned because of social media or the instant gratification culture that we live in today. They're more concerned with, not to discount their feelings, but shit that we would see is really, really bullshit or superficial problems, like you kind of touched on. What's your approach, and how do you speak to them? Because you said you're seeing a lot of the same things. History repeats itself, right? Especially when we don't have strong mentors and strong pulls to pull us in the right direction. So I know you've got dozens, if not hundreds, of success stories, and you've probably got a few that you missed along the way, but you seem positive, and we're going to focus on that because we can't save everybody.
Right.
But no one is coming to save us. And I think we spoke about that as well. And that's not a political statement. That's just, you know, the government and that bullshit, $250 a month. That's not, like, if that's what you're striving for, sorry, audience. I grew up, that's what I grew up around, generational welfare recipients.
Mm-hmm.
You're just surviving.
Yeah.
You're not living. And how do you teach these kids to start living in a manner that forces them to show up, I guess?
So in the years that I've built our reputation on who we are, I had to be first the example. Because then nobody's going to show up and follow up, right? So everybody could say, like, God bless you, because of you, I'm here too, right? Everybody could say what they say, but they don't provide it. They don't do it. It's just the talk. And I've been around people in the years of being alive. Love is love, and I'm here to support. I'm here to give, and they don't do that. When you give that call, they're not doing that. So I do that. You do that. And one thing we got to do is be the example. You have a family. You have your kids. Oh, my God. Other men are going to be inspired by that. Right. I need to get my stuff right. So I don't have a great family, but I have a testimony. I mean, I have my kids, right? Being a single mom shows strength as a woman. So showing them being on time, the responsibility, because this is a dance company. It's different. The responsibility, the discipline, etiquette, I mean, your reputation, like how you're jeopardizing your life or what can come through this. Not, I could show you all the greatness to being famous, but there's other stuff that goes with it where you could fail real quick.
Right.
So I got to prepare them, inspire them in things and show them where I was, who I was, what I did. The first dance crew that I had, some of them were selling crack.
Right. While they were.
Nobody knew that.
While they were dancing.
Nobody knew that. The guys from the hood. And I inspired them. And I was like, you're not doing that no more. And I would go to the block or he's out or we had to bail somebody out. Like, you're not, oh, I regret it. Thank you, V. Da-da-da-da. And they're doing great. They see me now. They're fathers or they have a business. They're doing stage. I'm like, wow, look at you. But to hear the stories, yo, Violet, thank you because you did save me, girl.
Right.
You don't understand. Even the girls that I know that are women now, the stories they're telling me now, do you know what you did, Violet? Did you understand where I was at, where I was going? No, I didn't because my mission was just to be focused with my company.
Right.
I got to be right. I got to be strong so they can be strong.
Right.
And then so when they're like, oh, I want to kill myself. Oh, my mom and my dad did so. I'm like, girl, if I tell you my story about suicide, you're going to be shocked. And you know what? We're not going to do that. Now you're going to be the voice for many. How can I switch this situation? How can I share your story in our dance? I have a choreographer who has sickle cell really bad, and he's amazing. We got to tell that story. A dancer that flew in from Texas, she suffered from lupus. She's a mom, young mom. She almost died twice. She's at NYU. She's single by herself out here studying. So now I got to push that. It's just challenges. I'm like, I don't even put the problems on me. This is just a challenge. It's not a problem in life. It's what can we do to challenge ourselves to be out of the situation or be better. And sometimes we have to go through that problem to get to where we at now. So sharing them the example of who I am, what I've done, and what my past was is the best that I can do. And because of the reputation that I have with the company. The stories, the news, the interviews, and you see these guys, tough guys, are like, wow, I need to be around you, V. I need that energy.
Right.
Oh, I like these dancers. These are tough guys.
Right.
Yo, I like this vibe. Yo, V, can I come back? Can I come chill in the back? You know, I don't want to dance. And then you see them in the back dancing.
Right, the energy's infectious. People don't understand the power of energy, right? And,
yes.
You know, you touched on leader. You're a leader, and the leader leads by example. And, you know, some people answer the call of leadership and some people run from it. You know, me personally, I've run from it for a very long time. I've always known I was capable of it, but I didn't want the responsibility of it. And that's shifted recently. And hearing your story, there's no shame in me having felt that way for so long. But there's an awareness I have now of the cowardice of all people. And the lack of desire to dive into the hard things, right? Because what you've done is stack a bunch of small wins on top of each other for the majority of your life. And there are plenty of losses that go along with that. There might even be more losses than wins.
Mm-hmm.
But here you are, and you're still winning. And you're allowing people and giving other young people the permission to start to tell themselves that same story. And yours is an example of not only hope and perseverance, but of, listen, life can be shit, but are you going to be a victim or are you going to get up and you're going to fight? And I can't commend you enough for that. This is like therapy for people that come on, including myself, because you get to see the human side of what it takes to become a leader or become a mentor. And you've stepped into that role beautifully for 35 years now. And where, I would ask, do you see this going in the next 10 or 15 or 20 or 35 years? Where do you see KR Three T's going.
With you, with us. You're going to be doing a...
You know, I ain't catching my ass dancing. I'll be doing a robot in the back. Now, I got a little moves left. Yeah. Although I'm not clubbing or anything like that.
We got to do some little salsa-lis, you know.
If you saw me dancing salsa back in the day, it was probably because I was wasted. But
bachata, merengue. Where do I see myself?
Where do you see yourself? Where do you see your baby in the future?
So one thing is I'm trying to prepare now my story to tell the story out to the world, my life. I have a script, so I'm looking into working with that. I'm looking into celebrating our 35th anniversary, but, you know, maybe what saved us, we're all not perfect because maybe I was afraid to rent out a studio or take a building and then lose it, right? So I would be in a building for a few years here and another building for another few years here. And it's like, I hope that I get that opportunity or establishment, a collaboration with somebody where we could finally have our own building or one floor with an office where I can have 24/7 access, because so many dancers or people or projects that people want to be involved in, and I have limited access in the place. If I'm able to save all these dancers 2 days a week, 5 hours a day, imagine what I could do 5 days a week. So I'm like, we need our own space. We need someone to help us, to mentor me, or somebody like Violet. I have a space. We're not using it in Manhattan. Use it. I mean, we'll pay something. I'm not, you know, help me to help that. Or if you have a grant writer that could make the money, I don't care. Take it. We just need the space, right?
I know that Manhattan in particular right now is undergoing a huge transition since COVID. There's so much empty office space because people are working from home. And if we're fortunate, this podcast comes across somebody who happens to be a real estate developer or connected in the world of Manhattan real estate. And it just happens to have some square footage sitting around that could be put to good use and maybe as a tax write-off.
Yes.
What would that space look like?
Maybe 2,000 square footage.
That's it?
Maybe, or three.
Two, three, right. Four, five. We'll take what we can get.
Right. But Vegas can't be choosy. We good as long as it could fit. I have over 60 dancers, and we do flips, splits, so much production. Our productions are big. Our stages that we do at hostels, the stage is big. These stages that we produce our shows, we need space for rehearsal.
Right.
We have b-boys, we have salseras, all those spins, or the b-boys need space when we're doing creative transitions, choreography. So it's like the place where we are now, I love it, and they're very helpful. But it's not enough space for us.
So if you do a backflip, your foot might hit the ceiling.
Yeah, the lights. That's crazy. And, you know, where I was at before was Julia de Burgos. I was able to have 92 dancers there and still space.
Right.
So I'm losing.
Is that fire coat?
No, perfect. Okay. All right, good. Perfect.
Fire coat.
Yes.
We're good.
Yes. But the thing with that is I'm losing other lives that want the opportunity. Right. So I'm limited in the space I'm in. I can't allow more than 60, but there's so many. Can I join? Is there space? Right. It's like, you know.
So you're turning people away due to a lack of space, lack of resources. All right. That's definitely something to consider. And, you know, if you want to help, if you hear V's message and it's something that you want to help with, this is one of the ways that you can. This would probably be the, you know. Donations are great, but actually funding this program and giving it certainty for years in advance would be optimal so that you can really dive into the mission the way you want to. So I asked you earlier what you felt the mission looks like down the line, and it sounds like bigger and better.
Yes, that's what I want, because so that everything is more established. Things happen in life, right? And we're not going to stay 25.
Yeah, you look great for your age,
girl. You know, 25. So I have to think ahead, and I got to prepare, because I've trained many others that are with me that are now my choreographers. They were once my students, once my dancers, and now they're creating and they have special styles of dance that their specialty is that, you know? So I want to prepare so that now I can be the director. I mean, I've been the artistic director for years, but over for 30 years, I never paid myself as an artistic director.
Wow.
And I paid my dancers, my choreographers, the space, the costumes, us travel, the car, but not myself.
Right.
And it's like my board is like, Violet, you got to pay yourself. You got to pay yourself. You can't do this. You got. And now I'm paying myself a little bit, and it's been 2 years. I'm feeling myself as, you know, in a position. It's not what it's supposed to be. Even my grant writers, they're like, Violet, you need a raise. And I'm like, I can't touch that because you never know next year or the next 6 months. We're not going to get the funding of this or until I get approval of that. Then maybe I'll give myself a little something.
Where does your support financially come from?
So I have from DCLA, our councilwoman who's supporting us, Diana Ayala, certain funding the government or private donations, and my yearly event that I do for KR3Ts, which is the 35th anniversary, and the summer festival that we do. So we do a 2-yearly event that helps
that brings some money into the program, and then the majority of it is through grants and through donations and generosity from elected officials and local officials. If someone wanted to help, is there a place that they can go to, you know, click a link and donate or see what it is that you do and, and help?
Most importantly, I would love to invite anyone that's interested in helping in any way to come and visit and see the program, the company, meet these dancers, the choreographers, the story behind it, and how the program is run. Because everybody goes there, they're like, oh my God. A principal just went there yesterday, and he was like, I've worked with him years ago, and he's like, oh my God, we gotta do something. We gotta,
right.
I'm like, oh my God, please let this happen, because I wanna feel good that I can take care of my dancers, my choreographers. But when you're in there, it would be greater because they can meet with them personally and hear the stories or with us in what we do. But even through our website, KR3Ts.com is another way of donating. There's a donate button through that. Their service. They might be great as a grant writer.
Right.
They might want to be a board member. The relationship to me is greater than anything. You might guide me in teaching me and doing something greater that I might be missing, or establishing a relationship with someone with space. Anything is, it's grateful for us.
I think you're an entrepreneur in the regard of you started something beautiful, and it's not in the traditional entrepreneurial sense where you're looking to make a buck. You've actually forgone a lot of money in the sense that you want to ensure that you have the funds and the security for the things that matter. And you haven't even put yourself first in the conversation of what comes first. And that is called selflessness. And that is a beautiful thing. But it's also an entrepreneurial case of, I don't want to sound harsh, but it's an entrepreneurial sabotage job that we all pull on ourselves, where we try to do everything by ourselves. And we need a team. We need a team of like-minded people who know what the mission is, but you're the leader at the end of the day. A lot of us have, you know, who are entrepreneurs or who have created programs like this and nonprofits, we know how to do all the little things, but then we hit the ceiling because we don't know how to scale this beautiful idea to the world. And that's where I think the importance of business infiltrating the nonprofit space can work. But obviously it has to be done with integrity and authenticity and by the right people. And that's the challenge, right? Because you have these massive nonprofits like Red Cross, and then you look it up and I think 50 cents on the dollar actually goes to the donation. I don't know what the other 50 goes to, but it's probably salaries and marketing and budgeting and lobbying and the politics and everything else that goes involved with having a national thing. I'm not aware of any companies or nonprofits that do what you do on a national level. Are there any organizations that you've modeled your own after, or this is something you've kind of just trial and error through the years? It's developed through doing and making mistakes and making adjustments. what's been your journey in the process, or have you had another organization to look to for guidance?
No, I was stuck in my community and I saw that there was a need and I saw the neglect for us being Latinos or me being a thick Latina or the not knowing. And back then, let's get this correct, we didn't have social media, we didn't have Google. So we couldn't figure that part out in the business. We were just doing what was part of our culture. And that was something that was an escape and what we loved doing. And I just, again, went with the whole vibe, the mode of this is where I belong. I have a purpose, right? So that's one place where I always think I'm still young. I'm still 25. Back then, I was like,
hold on, I thought you were.
Yeah, I could still run. I could still talk, walk. I could still dance. I flip. I don't need to worry about those things. I was like, whatever I have to do in a week, I'll do it in 2 days. So if I had 20 things, I was looking to do it in 2 days, 3 days. I did 32 choreographies in a week. I used to teach everywhere, and it was different choreography. So I used to love challenging myself how much I can take.
Right.
So the difference of what's back then that I missed out was maybe because I was comfortable in my community and the needs that was there, and I wasn't thinking. I did want to be in a house, a condo, yes, right, but I never knew how that was going to happen, and my focus wasn't there. I was distracted in my talent and my passion. So now is what can I do to really stable this in a place where that's good? Because like you said, corporate, you got Boys and Girls Club, they're getting millions, right? And maybe there's two testimonies a year. I have 15 testimonies a year or more. How can we get that same type of support? You know, I went real quick experience. Years ago, I went to the supermarket and I take the dancers away in the summer to a house, or now you call them Airbnbs, right? I'll have do an exchange and we share, you know, what they're going through and workshops, fun stuff. And so I was like, God, I need, we're staying over, we need food, and that's coming out of my pocket a lot. So let me ask the supermarket where I buy at. And he was like, let me ask the guy that's here, the guy from Coca-Cola's here. I was like, oh, okay. Hey, this is a girl. She does great with the community. He was like, oh, yeah. I said, I just need maybe a few cases of drinks, sodas. Right. Before we thought that it was healthy.
Right.
Now it's water and great stuff.
Still don't stop.
Right, right. So he was like, oh, I already donate with a company. I'm like, oh, okay. It was just for 300 dancers.
Right, right.
I'm only asking for 5 cases, but it's all right. I said, by the way, who you donate to? Oh, we do Boys and Girls Club and Children's AIDS and this. And I was like, they're already set. And well, this is who I am. I showed them my brochure. This is what I've done. It's okay. Right. I'll figure it out. But thank you for supporting them. That's set. I walked away. The manager came back. He said, hey, the guy said he's going to give you 5 cases.
You guilted him into it.
I was like, did we really have to go there?
Right. Did I have to throw some shade on you for you to give me, you know, like, come $40 on, worth of soda?
Right. Yeah. It wasn't even much. Like, so it's like now going to the corporate and people that might be interested, you know, they'll come in and they're like, you're supposed to be a multi-million dollar organization. And I'm like, you're right. And we are. Because what I did not get paid for 30,000, I mean, 30 years, and an executive director supposed to get paid like maybe 90,000 or maybe the less 60 and the most 120, right? I'm already a millionaire, I'm telling you right now. I donated to the organization, right?
In spirit.
Right.
But we want to see it on the bank statements.
Right, that's true. I need that.
So listen, this is the journey, right? Your journey's been a 35-year journey to get to the point of realization that, and you've known this for a while, but let's just say for the sake of this conversation, branding and the ability to embrace a corporate structure,
right?
But in a way that it services you on a local level. Because we all know the Boys and Girls Club, we all know the YMCA, we all know that they've made impact, but you're in the mud. And by in the mud, I say that affectionately. You're dealing with people with street problems from the streets, in the streets, hood shit, teen pregnancy, drug abuse, depression, no family structure, broken people, for lack of a better explanation, broken young people. And through the gift of dance and this amazing energy you're presenting, first and foremost through yourself and through your knowledge of dance and music and everything else, you're able to turn these kids' lives around. So what would be the one thing that would help you take this program to the next level and the next chapter of this story, which I think you are on at this point? So you've done these first 35 years and the lessons have been learned.
Yes.
And it seems like work smarter, not harder is now the motto here. Right? So what's the one thing that would allow you to step out and help scale this program to be what it can be?
One is meeting people like you, people in the industry, people in the business realm where they can guide me or refer me or introduce me to the places where we need to be and go where we need to go. I'm very by the paper when it comes to being a nonprofit. So everything I've done for 35 years has been on point. The only thing, it was not just paying myself, but to who we are, being a Latin Grammy, an Emmy Award winner, you know, being one of the Latinas in the library about hip hop archive. Like, I don't think I should have to throw stuff in to be like, can you help me because I did all that? No. Can you help our community? That's one. Yes. But we're on a level, high level is not the You Got Served. You see these movies, right? We're beyond that. We're beyond that. We have people all over the world that comes to New York to train with us. People that are inspired. I've taught in Europe. I taught in France and Paris, Switzerland. I've given panel discussion, judge events. Like, they were touched by what I've said or by what I've showed them. Come to New York to be blessed and trained, and now they're famous. I have dancers in LA who are the assistant choreographer for the Super Bowl. Dancers that couldn't afford to pay for a class. Like, if I'm able to do that, can I get those type of people to be involved so we can continue to touch those other lives that were nobodies? I had a kid that was bullied when he was 10 and didn't have good resource, no money, no good support. He's one of the best dancers in the world now. I have many dancers that are famous. My son, everybody's saying he's the number one dancer in the world too, whatever. But we're humble. We want to keep thriving. We're not asking for give it to us here. I work for it.
Right.
You know, I'll put the hours in. Tell me what to do.
Right.
Tell me where to go. Invite me to these important places, because sometimes the face and the name doesn't match. And when they see the face, oh my God, you're the one. I just got real quick to say the story. We have an opportunity to teach in schools. That helped us get some budget in the company.
Right.
So we went, it's called Project Pivot, and the commissioner, David, he, you know, there's funding for that. And I get a call in September, and this guy's like, hey, do you teach classes in the schools? Because we're looking to bring teachers to teach. And I'm like, yes, I've done that years ago. I used to teach in the schools as well, but I would love to bring my program in the schools. Who am I speaking to? And I was like, I'm Violeta Galagalza. Violet, the choreographer of Character T's? And I was like, yeah. Oh my God, it's Felipe. I took your class years ago. This is, oh my God, no, we need you involved in this school. What you did with these dancers and how you touched me, I wasn't even a dancer. And now I'm the director of programs, and we need this for these kids.
Right.
And I was so shocked to see that, wow, what I did in the past really impacted till now. People don't forget, right? You know? And so if I'm able to do that and work with people in these schools, I don't mind. We're ready to work. Just give us the connects.
Right.
Introduce us or invite them to see us. Just see what we do. When I did Grand Theft Auto,
right,
I did the game, right? it wasn't because I was this dancer. A guy from Germany knew of my work. He's seen me. And he told the Rockstar Games director, you need to meet this girl. I went in, spoke to him. He told me, could you dance the 70s, 80s, 90s? What styles? And I was like, oh, yeah, the kid and play, this and that. And then when I showed them 5 minutes of my VHS tape, when he put that in, he took it out. He took the contract. He said, sign.
Wow. Which GTA was that? Which Grand Theft Auto?
Grand Theft Auto 3. I did the choreography. I had 6 dancers. And I did Grand Theft Auto 4. I had dancers there. I was a cartoon in it as well. And it was with Manny Escuela, which the character was Berto Colon, who's in Power.
Okay.
You know. And
the new one, right? Yes. The father.
Yes. He's baldy, yeah, Latino. Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? But nonetheless, yes. I know you're talking about Mary J's husband.
Right, so I haven't seen the whole thing, but yeah, to not know that, look where he's at now too. But that story in the mission.
He was a dancer for you as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was the actor. He was...
for GTA.
Right, Manny Escuela. That story was my story. I invited Rockstar Games to my rehearsal. He only wanted voiceover. When he came, he added me as the cartoon. He added 5 other dancers. And he put a bit of my story in that mission.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I could have sued him. But...
That's damn cool. You would have lost.
But I was inspired.
You would have lost anyway.
I was inspired.
They got better lawyers.
To me, that's fine. We would have made more noise. Nah.
Listen, it's bragging rights.
Yeah, I just love the fact that he came. That's all it takes. Right. Just come.
Right.
And you might be inspired for other things. Right. And that's what happens. So if what we're doing, you'll be inspired, but I hope it can inspire you to do others. Or how can we help you too?
So what I'm hearing is next level for you and for the program is visibility.
Yes.
It's visibility that gets you in front of the right people. And just like it's landed you in front of the right people to get you, these opportunities, there's going to be a visibility, there's going to be an occurrence, there's going to be an opportunity, there's going to be a moment where the right person sees it and brings this shit or helps you and your team bring it to the next level. So even though you're 25 and you know you've been doing this for a little while now, I love the fact that you have not given up on the hope that the best is yet to come. That's still an option for you. And I can't wait to see it happen. I know it's just a matter of time. Mm. And, you know, I'll do what I can to help. I don't know that it's me or this podcast or just the fact that you are going to keep putting it out there until you find that right person in that right space that allows you to scale this. And then, you know, possibly bring it to other cities or other areas of New York City. Because, I mean, we got 25 million people. I'd like to thank you for coming out. And sharing your story with us and being so candid and being so open and honest about the struggles you've overcome to first and foremost get you into your life's purpose. And then for having the strength and the courage to just keep going on the mission indefinitely because of the fact that you, and correct me if I'm wrong, have a fear of letting down these people that look up to you. So you're a mama bear to so many young men and women who are now grown men and women.
Right.
And you have tons of testimonials, tons of stories of success, tons of stories of turning people's lives around. What's one thing that you'd like to share to our audience before we go to let them know how they can help? You know, what the purpose of your mission is. Again, we've talked about the impact, but just kind of dive into what helping you looks like on the back end. What kind of change by helping you they can make in someone's life. And then how they can find you, how they can, you know, push that donate button or find you on social.
So the best way I would love to gather in meetings with people that either want to be involved, who has resources. Let's say, for instance, an entertainment lawyer, a publicist, you know, those type of people are important because they're already in the field, in the connects of what's in between us that's blocking us to go to the next step sometimes. Mm-hmm. A videographer, you know, a photographer. There's things that we need to continue the infrastructure, to continue to present what we do. There's a story behind this whole organization. Maybe there's people out there that would like to share our story with whatever mission they have. Or maybe they want to be inspired and come and give their input, but also learn from what we're doing, you know, and what growth they're doing in their business. But anybody that feels they have a heart for the community and have a purpose as well, I get that because that's what I look for more. That's what I'm looking for. Funding, supporting, you know, it can be a psychologist. You know, we need dancers, someone to talk to. It don't have to be in the dance world, you know, resource, how to teach them to save money, how to grow, fundraising, you know, artist developer, a development person for funding.
So it sounds like anybody who is listening to this, yes, who is resonating with the message that V is putting forth, and if you'd like to support the mission that she's on, it seems like we can do that in a lot of different ways by just doing what you're good at.
Right.
Donating your time and your energy to the cause and to the purpose and to the mission. So how do they find you? What platforms are you on?
So we're on Instagram, Facebook, I was going to say WhatsApp, and our website. So it's KR3TS.com, or in Instagram is KR3Ts. Those are the best places to get us, or reach us at 646-302-1817.
Nice. So we didn't touch on it, but keep rising to the top is what KR3Ts stands for. It's not pronounced Creets or Crets. It's KR3Ts for everybody out there. You know where to find her. You know the mission she's on. If you'd like to help, you already know how to do it. So thank you guys for tuning in to The Real Mentors Podcast. Thank you to my very lovely guest today, yes, for sharing her time, her story, and her mission and her heart with us in the audience. Thank you guys. Stay blessed. Have a great one.
Bye.